our cry, God, is that you would be enthroned upon our praises. You would take the highest seat, Jesus, because you took the lowest seat. Before the foundations of the earth, you laid yourself bare to be a servant of all, to the lowest place, You didn't consider equality with God to be a thing to be grasped, but you lowered yourself. Yet you are the one to be enthroned. Yet you are the one to be exalted above all. The one that took the lowest place. The one that became the servant of all. The one that washed his brother's feet. The one that didn't need to do it. You took the lowest place. You are the one to be enthroned upon our praises, to take the highest seat on the throne of our hearts, on the throne of our lives, Jesus. The cry and the prayer of our hearts would be is that you are enthroned, God, that you are enthroned, Jesus, that you are magnified, God, the lowly and meek Lamb of God, that you would be enthroned upon our praises. Jesus, it's our joy and it's our honor to see you this way, to see you as the humble servant of all, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. What can we say? What can we say? What can we do, God? But give you all the praise, but give you all the thanks, God. But to throw our crowns before you in gratitude and say, thank you, Jesus. What more can we do? What more can we do as humans, God? We're so frail. Lord, we're broken. We say thank you, Father, with lips that shudder, with lips that quiver, God. We say thank you to you, God. We say be enthroned upon our praises, God. We exalt you to the highest place, Lord, in our hearts, Father, in every way, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Jesus, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus. You are the one, you are the one, you are the one, you are the exalted one, you are the Holy Lamb of God, you are the one, you are the beginning and the end, you are the Alpha and Omega, you are the one, you are the one, Jesus. What can we say? What can we do, Lord?
to the Lord of all. We lift it up higher, praise the Lord of all. And we'll sing highest praises, Lord of all. Be magnified, be glorified, be lifted up, oh God. Be magnified, be glorified, be lifted up, oh God. Be magnified, be glorified, be lifted up, oh God. In you are worthy, Lord of all. You are worthy, Lord of all. In you are worthy, Lord of all. In you.
Just as we keep singing this, I just believe the Lord is touching our bodies right now. If there's anyone here that has a need, a physical need in their bodies, or an emotional need in their bodies, just put your hand on that place and trust that the Lord is doing it right now in this place of adoring His face, of adoring His presence. Thank you, Jesus. Each person, Father God, crying out to you, Lord, this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that you meet us, Father. You meet us. You're faithful to come and meet us, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So if you feel any change in your body, if you feel anything that's different than when you came in, you're able to notice something, just put your hand in the air. If anybody feels any difference, thank you, Lord. You're gonna do it this morning, Jesus. You're gonna do it, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Healing is the children's bread, Father, and we partake. We partake, Lord. We eat of your flesh and we drink of your blood. We receive you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We have faith. Give us more faith, Lord, to see the impossible, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Okay. So, no, my name's not Pastor Mary Pat or Pastor Bill or any of the other people you've seen up here preaching, but I know all of you, so hi. The pastors are actually in Florida visiting their son, Joey, his wife, Jenna, and their daughter, Haley, so that's really exciting for them. They live out of state, and so I was asked to share, and so here I am. So I just want to pray to open up this morning.
Can somebody shut those doors? Thank you. Father, just thank you for this morning, Lord, and thank you that you're here, Lord, that you grace us with your presence, that you come faithfully to meet with your children, to meet with your bride, Lord, and to speak to us. Father, we just open our hearts to you, Lord, and our minds and our will, Father, to hear from heaven. Just excited to see what you're going to do, Lord. I am expecting for you to come and to show yourself strongly on behalf of those who are fully devoted to you, God, whose hearts are fully yours, Lord. Your eyes are searching to and fro. Your eyes are looking for ones who are going to listen, who are going to hear, Lord. May that be us, Father. May that be me, Lord. May you speak to my heart. I want your eyes to catch mine, Lord. I want to be found by you, Jesus. I want to be found by you, Lord. I want to gain Christ. I want to win Christ. Lord, I count everything else as rubbish, as mere rubbish. I count everything as loss compared to knowing you, Jesus. Compared to knowing your loveliness and your beauty, Father. In your suffering, Lord. In your glory, Father. In your humility. In your meekness. In your might and in your power. I long to be one with you, Jesus. And may we be found this morning in a new place, Father, hungering and desiring you in new ways, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Just come, Holy Spirit. I'm not going anywhere without you, Lord. Come, Holy Spirit. We just wait on you, Lord.
Lord, I give you my heart, I give you my soul, I live for you alone, every breath that I take, every moment I'm awake. Lord, have your way in me. Lord, I give you my heart, I give you my soul, I live for you alone, every breath that I take, every moment I'm awake. Lord, have your way in me. Lord, I give you my heart, I give you my soul, I live for you alone, every breath that I take, every moment I'm awake. Lord, have your way in me.
Amen. Yes, Lord. Have your way, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Well, I don't know about you, but that was a quick transition. Maybe it's different now. all the kids are coming in. They're usually coming like 20 minutes later, so something changed. I don't know about you, but I think just by a show of hands, how many of you have been just beautifully challenged in the last couple of weeks? That's three of you, so congratulations. 4, 5, 6, 7. I'm a hand raiser. I'm a very curious person, so I want to know. Like, if you haven't, we're going to talk later. No. Or you need to listen to the messages. So if I ask you to raise your hands, I don't take points, but I actually really like to know. I'm just curious because, you know, I'm not the pastor, so I'm allowed to do it. But I just have been really challenged by the Lord. And this whole humility thing, like, and repentance, it's like, haven't we already talked about this before? Can we go, let's go to, like, you know, somewhere else in the Bible. But it's encouraging, and it's, I'm finding things out, I think, that I, in prayer and in reading the scriptures and, hearing the messages and in worship, the Lord is really deepening my revelation and my understanding. I'm sure I'm not the only one. I know others have expressed the same thing. And when you have a whole night, all night watch of the Lord, and it's all about repentance, it's like, oh my gosh, Lord, you're saying something and you're doing something, and you're wanting us to catch it. can I just say, actually, I'm really excited to be up here. One thing. Because last time I was up here, I don't know if you remember, it was in November, the Ghana team was gone. And Mike and I had just recently lost a baby. We lost a pregnancy. And so here we are, and I'm almost 5 months pregnant. So I'm kind of like excited about this. It's like, take that, devil. I was thinking of it. It just dawned on me, like, wow, Lord. Maybe some of you know. I don't know. I was just going to say something. Never mind. Breakthrough. It's really awesome. So thank you, Lord. This is so cool. But, you know, joyfully, the last time being up here and sharing, just joyfully trusting the Lord and being at peace and like, okay. And if you think about the timing, it's like, wow, shortly after that, it was our anniversary, which was December 10th. So it was like after Thanksgiving. December 10th, we actually woke up that morning and we found out that we were pregnant. And so I didn't think it was possible, like, in terms of timing, but sure enough, there was a little one growing in there. So still growing and growing and growing, and I'm feeling every bit of it, so it's great. it's really exciting. Gabriel, it's fun because Gabriel is, like, at first, he's going to be 4 in a month, so he's an only child. You know, not for long. So pray for him, because you know, he's a wonderful child, but he acts like an only child. So it's gonna be good. Bless his heart, though. Any of you that are an only child, I'm sure it's great. But so he's got another one coming, though. So prepare ye the way. At first he just is like, you know, we're talking about the baby and he doesn't see mommy's belly growing, so nothing's visible to him yet. He's young and he doesn't fully grasp it yet. So more and more he's talking to the baby, and he'll say things like, we were driving in the car and he's just in his car seat, and he goes, you know what? He's really dramatic. I don't know where he gets it from, but he goes, you know what we forgot to do? No, he didn't say it like that. He's like, you know what we forgot to do, Mom? And I turn around, I'm like, what? And he goes, we forgot to get another car seat for the baby. And so it's I just love it. And I'm like, you're right. I said, well, there was one that you used, and we'll be bringing it back out. And then he'll say things like, if you go to Bueller's, we don't shop there that often, but we were there recently, and they have the little cars attached to the grocery cart, and we let him go in it, you know, and he's sitting there, and he goes, yeah, one day, and right here, this is for my brother and my sister. This is for my brother and sister. And so he says brother and sister because we don't know what we're having yet. We find out in like a week and a half. But we'll say boy or girl, and so he thinks he's having both. Maybe, I don't know. I think he's hoping for, we don't know, we're not having twins that we know of. but he's hoping for a sister. And so, and then we're going to California, in which my beautiful mother-in-law and father-in-law are here. We get to go with them to with Mary Teresa to California. She gets to see her dad that she hasn't seen in a long time throughout this whole journey of healing, and so that's a praise report in and of itself. But Gabriel brings out his old sandals. They're so cute. They're like little baby ones, and they're red and blue and not girly. And so he brings them out. He goes, and the baby's going to wear these to California. And now we're like, the baby's not going to be here yet. But he's all about, any of you people have boys that are like really all about fashion and worried about what they're wearing? Because he changes his outfit like 4 times a day, and he's all about summer clothes. So it's like, oh my gosh. Anyways, so it's just really exciting. So thank you, Lord, for this new promise that's on its way in the right timing. And do we have a picture of the new arrival? Do you guys know? Oh, no, I don't think we have one. Maybe somebody can send it to somebody's email. Josh will pull it up. But in case you didn't know, I don't know his middle name, though. What is it? Leon. Jacob Leon Hay was born on March 14th at 2:22 p.m. And I don't know how much he weighed. 8.5 pounds. Natural delivery. 19 inches. So he'll be up there, his cute little face. When I first saw the picture, I don't know if it was the angle, but he looked a lot like Michelle. And then I saw another one that Christy sent me. I'm like, oh, that is Joe's baby right there. Like, whoa, you know? So that's exciting when they look like somebody. I want the next one to look like me, you know? It's like I have a mini mic around the house. Anyways, so thank you, Lord, for babies and the ones that are growing. Okay, so where were we? Who wants to talk about humility? I kind of do, but so I don't know if you, this is just a little bit of a plug, but this book right here, how many of you actually own this? So those that owned it from the old days, sorry, like, or a while back when you first got it. I don't mean to categorize you, but so here, and then how many of you have a new one that was recently ordered? So we ordered them, and so some of you had this and you read it a long time ago. Try to find it and bring it back out. You might not get it past the preface. I'm just like, what? It's really amazing. It's written by Andrew Murray, and actually, I found it online, like in PDF form. It's very interesting because there's different versions. I have the Bible, the translation. Some are more modern, and some are more like King James Version. There's a few renditions of this, but we decided very specifically to get this one, the yellow book cover with the flowers on the front, and it says humility. And so we ordered 13 of them. The Mozambique team, they'll be required to read theirs and take theirs overseas. And then we ordered another 15. So if you need one, come see Carly or I. And if you have one, don't take one and get yours out. Don't let it keep collecting dust. So your Bible is the most important thing. Next thing is this, for now anyways. But I've been reading through this, and this humility and faith thing that we actually handed out, we had the one that was the original version. Remember a couple weeks ago when we were like, oh, we have a different version? It's actually the one that's in this book. It's more, the words are just less modern than this one right here that you'll see in the foyer. This is marked up because we took it to Mozambique last year, and at the top it says, ha, 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 drink and go low. So that was fun. But this is actually from the book, and so you can look at both and have fun with it, and have fun. So, but I wanted to start out with this quote. I think it's in the preface, because the preface is like, and it goes to the next chapter talks about humility in the life of Jesus, humility in the life of his disciples, humility in the teachings of Jesus. And it's amazing. Some of the glory, the secret of redemption, humility in the daily life, humility in holiness, humility in sin, humility in faith, which we have that chapter 9, and humility in debt to self. Lots of good stuff. But I really love, I just was reading through this and like gaining a better understanding, and specifically like Jesus' relationship to his Father. And, you know, when you're on a journey with the Lord and you're growing in the knowledge of the scriptures and you're encountering the Lord and he's speaking to you, and just that fellowship that we have with him that continues to grow over time, the closer we get to him, the more we lay our lives down, there's always more. Like when I was 19, I there was probably different perspectives I had about Jesus, about healing, about faith, that are much different now. They've grown, they've been built upon that initial foundation that was being laid in my life. And I can't imagine where I'm going to be in 10 more years, because it's like there's so much to unfold, there's so much to unpack when it comes to Jesus. And like if you were part of Holy Clubs, when we started Holy Clubs, I think a year and a half ago, a couple people were asked to facilitate, and so I saw it more as I'm kind of like going to just run it, and you know, I'm sure there's going to be lots of cool things I'll read and I'll participate in, but sounds like this is something to... It didn't really dawn on me that it was very much for me and very much for me to grow and go deeper and lower and just fall more in love with Jesus. And so it's the same way, I think, you know, with the Lord. And so what was I going to say? Humility. Anyways, the relationship with the Father. And for so long, we always talk about Jesus, and when you read the Gospels, you see Jesus who is sent to do what the Father does, is sent to speak what the Father is speaking, to do the will of his Father. And so we see him heal people. We see him stop for the one. We see him taking intimate times with his disciples to teach them, to impart to them, to stay up and pray, to feed the 5,000, to do all these amazing supernatural miracles. And that's what we see him doing, and we see the Father in that. And so as I'm just spending more time with the Lord and reading through this, before this, my perspective has grown. But before this, it was like, oh, yes, you represent the Father. You do the will of the Father. You are so loving. You're so kind, which is true, yes. He stops for the one you came, you know, to serve and to wash your disciples' feet and to just love and to challenge anything that would oppose the kingdom of heaven, the Pharisaical thinking, the ones that were religious in their hearts, that deep within them, on the outside they looked good, but on the inside there was a lot of pride, you know. And so he came to challenge those things, and he did the will of the Father. But at the same time, it's like he came to do the will of the Father. He came to do the will of the Father. He didn't come to with his own plan, with his own agenda. He didn't consider grasping equality with God, but he came as a lowly servant. And he says over and over again, it's not me, it's him. I came to serve. I came to represent the kingdom of heaven, but it's not my will. You know, in the Garden of Gethsemane, it's hard to say. You know, when he was sweating drops of blood in that place where he was toiling and or just, you know, tearing with the Father, and he was being tempted by every dark and evil force to come against him, to stop him in this path of humility that he was taking, this lowly path, the Lamb of God to be slain, a perfect, blameless person going to the cross. Every evil, every dark thing was coming against him in that place where he was sweating drops of blood. And for a moment, he looks to the Father and he says, "Not my will, but yours be done." He says, "If there's any way, but not my will, let your will be done." Humility at its finest. Like, why does he even have to say that? He's God. I mean, isn't he God? Isn't he fully God yet? But yet he came as a man, so he still has a will. He was still there to represent mankind. He was to represent humanity. And yet he showed us the way. He says, "It's not my will. It's not me. It's him." He's still pointing to the Father. This is the Lamb of God. This is the King of Kings, the Prince of Peace, like the one with the Father in the very beginning. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. John 1:1. So they're all together. They're all three with one. Holy Spirit, Father, and Jesus. And yet, he still sits there with drops of blood coming from his brow and his head that was about to be crowned with a thorn of was about to be crowned with a thorn of crowns, and yet he still said, "Not my will, let yours." I don't know how to wrap my mind around that. This is Jesus. This is the King of Kings. He is the one. He is God, but yet he still put his hands up and said, "Let your will be done." I don't know about you, but that kind of puzzles me and makes me excited and fearful all at once. It's like, you know, to consider the Lord in that way. So his relationship with the Father, I was beginning to see more and more, oh, so you show us how to walk a holy lifestyle, because you say to be holy as I am holy. You say to go and heal the sick. You say to go make disciples of all nations. You say to lay down your life, to take up your cross daily and deny yourself and follow me. You say all these things, and you're my example, Jesus. You're the one that I am called to understand and to hear your words and to grasp your heart. Yet at the same time, you're also my example of how to relate to the Father. And so I was like, I think it's for me anyway. He's just unpacking this whole new territory, this whole new place of how to respond to my Father in heaven, how to relate to him. He's my Father. He is my good, good Father. You're a good, good Father. That's who he is. Yet at the same time, He says, "Look at my son. Look at my son. See how he lived his life. See how he constantly pointed everything back to me." And just some of the words of Jesus picked out of scripture, especially in the Gospels and specifically in John, the words of Jesus: "The Son can do nothing of himself." John 5:19, "I can of my own self do nothing. My judgment is just because I seek not my own will. I receive," these are just a couple of verses, I'm just going to read through them. "I receive not glory from men. I am come not to do my own will. My teaching is not mine. I am not come of myself. I do nothing of myself. I have not come of myself, but he sent me. I seek not my own glory. The words that I say, I speak not for myself. The word which you hear is not my word." And so, like, this man, yet fully God, is still... he's pointing it all back to Jesus. And so I've been wrecked by that lately, and especially in light of last week's message with Pastor Bill talking about repentance. And those of you who aren't, and you know, the previous messages as well from Pastor Ray Pat, and then the one on the tongues and bridling our tongue and seeing, "Lord, where have I not submitted myself? Where have I not submitted my tongue to you?" And, you know, and stop. Those of you who aren't part of School of Worship, that day, I wasn't here that morning, though, before worship, my husband was talking about it, but with Josh, who was in the worship team, I'm not sure if Andy was, maybe just Andy talked about it later, I'm not sure, but I don't even think he was here, but Josh was talking about in the book of Revelation, and then into the message, Pastor Bill says this 20 long minute prayer about, you know, the ways that we're not truly submitting to the Lord. Lord, search me, know me, see if there be any wicked way in me, and just totally going for it with this message of repentance and reoffering it to us again to revisit the places of our hearts, of our lives where we've not admitted, or we're not willing to see, or we're being deceived by things, and not fully repenting. And then you go to school of worship. We had an imparty meeting after that, just impartation time, where we meet together, and then Josh goes even further in the book of James about deception and about what keeps us from repenting. And so, well, the obvious answer would be pride, but then how do you unpack that? How do you take that even further? Pride is really there's fear there, but it's also because you're deceived or because you're not willing to see something. And then Pastor Bill, it was literally like Josh, Pastor Bill, Josh, Pastor Bill, and there's a little bit of Pastor Mary Pat in there too. So it was just an awesome day, and I know that, you know, if you want to hear that message or that was given at the Jacquet's house, you're welcome to have it. It'll be made available to you. But if you haven't listened to that message from last week, or you haven't been keeping up, or haven't been here for any reason, I know that we're all busy, but they're up on our website, the podcast, and I would just encourage you to look at those, to listen to those, and to soak them in. I'm going to read a quote here from Andrew Murray, and I think this is in the preface part of this book. The faithful servant who recognizes his position finds a real pleasure in supplying the wants of the master or his guests. When we see that humility is something infinitely deeper than contrition or a contrite heart, and accept it as our participation in the life of Jesus, we will begin to learn that it is our true nobility. We will begin to understand that being servants of all is the highest fulfillment of our destiny as men created in the image of God. So I began to ponder this and, like, think about when we're in a secret place, or when we're wanting to go to that place of humility, and whether it's we're just pouring ourselves before the Lord and once again offering ourselves before him, or we are gently encouraged by a friend, a spouse. those of you who are married, or just find yourself a man or woman of God, and then you'll be set. Not just good looking, but he'll challenge the heck out of you, and vice versa. So, anyways. I don't know what, see, I'm blushing because he's looking at me and he's smiling at me, man. I love you, Mike. He challenges me. We were, there was recently, okay, I'll just give an example instead of trying to preach on it. Recently, there was a situation and in the situation, I wanted my way. And the funny thing about this is that self-righteousness can hide itself very well. And it's very, and when you're like, we can easily justify it very, very well too. And it can be hidden by us, but then other people see and you're found out. And so it's like, darn, I didn't see that. But So self-righteousness can mask itself. And so in this situation, I wanted my way, and I was very specific in doing something. I have to be really vague. But it had to do with other people, but I was the problem. And so I wanted things to look a certain way. And I went over in my head, and I was considering the different individuals. And I could see things in some other individuals that were really bothering me. And I was right about those things. And they really, it was really irritating me. And so out of that, I was like, oh, no, that's not going to happen that way. Because I am not going to be governed by somebody else's control or whatever. And so we're doing it this way. And I fought to make it work and to do what I needed to do to have it that way. And then it blew up anyways. And so at the end of the day, I was quiet. How many of you, well, don't be the quiet type anymore, but like when you're upset, you don't talk. You're just like, you won't look at people. That's where Mike and I are different. We don't need to hang our laundry. But so anyways, we're just different in that way with pride, like we all are. So we all show pride differently. There you go. Something you didn't know before, which I'm sure you did. So anyways, I was silent and just, I was totally wrestling because earlier in this specific week that this took place, the situation that you're all wondering about, I knew the Lord had spoken to me and he said, don't do it that way. You know, you have to think of this other individuals, group of whatever, people. And I was just like, are you saying that, Lord? Or I don't like this, though. So we're going to do it this way. Like, let's do it this way. And I'm actually right about this. And felt that I was right. And so it came down to this day. And then I was just quiet. I was not happy. And then the judgment was like, boiling on the inside of me. I was looking at said party and I'm just like, oh, and I am here, like I'm the one that did this, and I hate it and I don't like it. I don't like how it feels. And it just began to boom, 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 judge and cut apart and become angry and bitter. And so my husband kept asking me, are you okay? Are you okay, honey? Are you just tired? Because I'm pregnant, so it could just be like, I want to vomit in 5 minutes. But I wasn't. I was just not happy, and I was angry. And so I just said, I'm just tired. And so later that day, we were heading home from where we were, and I just was quiet. I didn't want to talk about it because I was too boiling in this thing where, like, I didn't understand why it had to end this way. Why did it have to go this way? Like, didn't I do what I thought I should have done? Like, this situation should have happened and occurred the way it was supposed to, and it didn't. And you were right. And I could have just done it the other way, which still, there would have still been this issue this other person had, but it didn't matter. I could have still humbled myself and preferred this other person still. Are you guys with me? I know that, like, fake here, but just hang with me. So I was struggling with that because the spirit of God in me that wants to humble itself before God was wanting to take me to that low place, like, come on, sweetie, just recognize it and, you know, let the fear of the Lord come, let him wash you clean, you need to repent. But then the other part of me was just, you know, I want to hang out over here in bitter land and be angry and just like, ugh. So when you're married to a godly man like Mike McCray, and it goes back and forth. We both help each other, and I'm grateful for that. But when you're in a car, you can't go anywhere. You're driving, you can't go somewhere else, slam the door. So I was stuck, and Gabriel's in the back, and so funny. We don't usually yell at each other. We try not to anyways. Gabriel, he'll just be like, Mommy and Daddy, stop yelling at each other. He's so prophetic too. It's like annoying. Like, he'll just say, Mommy, you are being mean and you're raising your voice. And he just gets really, like, he'll use the finger. Again, I don't know where he gets it from. I learned it from my grandmother. She uses the finger. She would get in your face, and I don't know if it's an unfortunate thing, but I use it too, and I snap my fingers. That's my own little thing. But so he'll look at us and say, you guys stop yelling. Stop. Daddy,
You need to say sorry. Mommy, you need to say sorry. It's just funny. We're just sitting there like, Gabriel, be quiet, you know. Let us figure this out. And now we have to go back and sorry, sorry, sorry. Gabriel, sorry. Please forgive us. We're not being godly and all that good stuff. And then we get to remind him when he's out of line. So happens a lot more often for him. So, anyways. I was sitting in the car, and it's just like the Lord, I had no place to go, and I was stuck. And so Mike started talking to me and saying, you know, I don't know what he said at first, but he says, you know, I've noticed a few things. Like, well, this is not the time. I'm all like a dog on the floor. You know, I'm just, don't try to lecture me now. And so he says, I've noticed some things with you. And this is like my gentle husband, Mike. Our delivery is different when it comes to the two of us. So he is like sweet as can be. And yet, like, I'm like, no, thank you. But he just says, I've noticed some things with you. And he was very bold, bold as a lion. And he said some things to me. And I was just like, this is what I was thinking. I'm either just going to be quiet and listen to him or ignore him. And then, like, I still want to agree with him. And just, you can talk. That's fine with me. Or I can, like, actually listen to what you're saying and not sulk. Or pontificate or just, like, make excuses or justify myself. And so the Lord is just like, no, you're going to sit right here. You're going to listen to him. You're going to humble yourself. You're going to keep your mouth shut and stop making excuses. Stop justifying yourself. Just be quiet, okay, and listen. So I sat there, and he pointed some things out. And it was very true what he said to me. And you can have all your ducks in a row in this other different places of your life, but when there are areas where you're not submitting to the Lord and you want that and you want him to show you, he'll be faithful and he'll show you. And so it's humbling, and it's actually, you know, sometimes we think humiliation is a bad thing. Sometimes it's a good thing when you're humiliated by the fear, by the Spirit of God. I don't mean that in a negative way. You have to catch what I'm saying here. Because Jesus was on a cross, nailed to a cross, half naked. And let me tell you, that was humiliating. And so he came to the point of humiliation, okay? So just think about that. But I was just sitting there, and he was pointing some things out to me. So I sat there, and I finally listened. I'm like, oh, man, yeah, he's right. He's right. I was very prideful in this area, very judgmental. And I was withholding love. And I was withholding preferring somebody else and seeing something the way the Lord sees it. And so I was like, so I didn't say much after that, though, because we were going to a place where both of our cars were parked. And so I had time to drive home by myself, and he got in the other vehicle, and we both drove home. So I was by myself, and I drove home, and was really thinking about a lot of what he said. In the area of pride, he didn't use the word, but like it was pride. It was just pride working itself in my heart, and in the area of not humbling myself and considering the Lord. And so finally got home, and the end of the story was good. And we went into our bedroom, and I sat down. And I just said, well, I appreciate everything you said, and you were right. And so we talked about it. We prayed a little more and shared a little more of my heart, more crying on my end, and just realizing, man, that pride is a stinker, you know? And when we think we're right, and so what I love about this little quote right here, the faithful servant who recognizes his position finds a real pleasure in supplying the wants of the master or his guests. When we see that humility is something infinitely deeper than contrition, a place of repentance, a place of
of brokenness before the Lord, where we're just, oh, Jesus, forgive me, I'm a sinner. It's more than that. I love like what he points out here. It's more than this place. He says, and accept it as our participation in the life of Jesus, we will begin to learn that it is our true nobility. This is the honor that we have as Christians, as his beloved bride, as his church, as his children, that this is the glory of Jesus. His humility, his lowliness, and his meekness is his glory. Like, and I'm a partaker of that. He calls me to partake and participate, not just be in this place of repentance and recognizing things and being quick to repent and just returning to Jesus, because that's what it is. Repentance is a 180. You just return back to where you belong, right? When you drift, when you start going the way of your sinful nature, you drift away from Jesus. And it's funny, it's just actually very scary, because there can be certain parts of your heart where you haven't repented that you drift away, and then other parts. And then that can like create mixture in your life. And it's scary, because you're just like, no, I don't want anything. Lord, search me. See if there's anything on the inside of me. I don't want any part of me to be separated from your presence or who you are. But so there's that part of humility, but the other part is just like this willingness, this place of desperation for the Father, this place of like of nothingness, of being completely empty before him, where you're just like, I'm trying to understand this more and more, because we live in this Western world, and I'm sure people in other places probably don't have it perfect. They've got their own things, but life can be so filled up with stuff. And so I, like, more and more, I just want to take a place of stepping back and saying, Lord, I seriously want to know what a life of humility looks like. Jesus did it. And he says, okay, now you do it. I want to show you how I related to my Father, and I want to show you how I responded to him. Now come and be like me. Come and take up your cross, deny yourself daily and follow me and look what it and see what it looks like to live a life of lowliness and meekness. The Sermon on the Mount, right? The first two Beatitudes that he says, you know what was really funny? Gabriel, when I was asked to give the message last weekend, this whole week, I don't know why he's singing it, but he was singing lots of things after last Sunday, because they learned a cool song with Ashley. But he kept singing Matthew 5, Matthew 5, Matthew 5. It's the Beatitudes, right? It's the beginning of the chapter. And so he's just walking around the house, and I'm like, why are you singing that? And so later on, the more I was really diving into some of this, I'm like, oh, the Beatitudes. Thank you, son. But he's just going around the house singing Matthew 5. And so this is where Jesus, and seeing the multitudes, he went up on a mountain. If you want to put this up, you can put it up, Matthew 5. My Bible right here is New King James, but let's just use New King James. So I'm just starting at verse 1, Matthew 5. And seeing the multitudes, he went up on a mountain, and when he was seated, his disciples came to him. Then he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, verse 3. You have your Bibles, right? You can pull those out. But we can have it up there too. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So the very first ones that he gives, blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And then it goes on about persecution and those who falsely accuse you, and just rejoicing in all types of things where people come against you. But this is like a full description of humility right here. Not only is Jesus' life this beautiful painting, this beautiful mural of like humility, but this first verses 3 through 10 just give us this awesome picture of what humility looks like. In verse, let's go to Ephesians 2. I'm just going to skip to Ephesians 2 now, Rachel. But, let my lose myself. Ephesians 2, 9. Which will tie to Philippians 2. I'm going to start verse 1, actually. And you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace we have been saved, and raised up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. Here it is, verse 8. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Verse 9. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works which God prepared beforehand so that we should walk in them. So the reason I have here some of my notes, when we are not hidden in Jesus, our self becomes the focus. When we are hidden in Jesus, true humility is birthed, and the Lord finds a resting place in us for him to draw near and reveal himself to us. And so when it talks about the grace, for by grace you have been saved through faith, the grace, like the work of the cross, this is the ultimate picture of humility, where Jesus, and humiliation, where Jesus, the Son of God, stooped so low to be nailed to a cross next to two sinners. He actually willingly, without any fault in him, without any blemish, offered himself as a sacrifice. And so, something that I think even the book might mention is that Jesus's death on the cross, his actual death, gave his humility his death value. This has become our redemption. So this is the grace of God. This is his humility. His death now has that stamp of humility. And this becomes my redemption. So by his grace, for by your grace, I have been saved. This is the grace of God. This is the glory of God. This is the glory of Jesus, his humility, his death. His humility becomes my redemption. So it's my salvation. Humility is my salvation. While participating in the life of Jesus, receiving that in myself, this place, this is humility. This is a place of lowliness and meekness. This is great. It's like all these words we could use, but this is my redemption. Is his humility? The humility of Jesus became my redemption. And doesn't that, like, just I love that. This is the man we were just talking about, who sweat drops of blood, who didn't consider equality with God a thing to be grasped, who took up his cross, who denied himself and who said, not my will, and fought the flesh. This, his humility became my redemption. And then, to take it further, he says, now become like me. Now follow me. Follow my example. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Follow me. Oh my gosh, I love it. Search, Lord, see if there's any part of me. I want to be so yoked with you. Last week when Pastor Bill was preaching, I was before he had us come up, I was sitting there, and as he was encouraging us to go before the Lord and for him to really show us what's there so that we could repent, we could lay it before him, I just saw this picture, this groom at the end of an aisle, like, you know, we're waiting with the minister to receive his bride, just up there with gladness in his heart, with eyes of just radiating and pulsating with love and just waiting and awaiting and awaiting as a bride. And I saw this picture of this bride. It was almost like a vision, but a bride coming around the corner and approaching the bridegroom. And it was a picture of the body of Christ coming towards the altar, coming towards the King of Kings. And it was so beautiful because this bride was ready. She was ready. Like, she made it. She was ready. She was clothed with white. She had no stain on her. And Jesus was just standing up there like, I'm ready to receive you. I've waited for this. But it wasn't only that, because I didn't see her come all the way to the altar. It was the procession, or the going down the aisle part, where he, with eyes of expectation, he was waiting and watching as she took time to tarry with him, to go to the low place and to be where he is, where the Father's heart is, and just making herself ready. And but this love, this place of love and pursuit of his heart, it all made it much more easy to say, oh God, like, I'm nothing without you. I want to be so tethered to you. I want to be found at your feet. I want to be yoked with you, Jesus. I want you to search me. Just get it all out. I want to be filled with you. I want to be yoked with you. I want to be one with you, because I am getting ready for that day where I walk down the aisle and I see your face. Like, that's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. We just have a foretaste, his spirit living on the inside of us. We don't even have the full thing yet, guys. It's not even close. Your best encounter doesn't even come close to the glory of God and what it's going to be like when you are face to face with him in heaven. Like, it's not even close. And he's just saying, just come near, come near, come near. Keep going low, sweetie. And so it just, I get excited and I get stirred up, and let me remember on those days when I just want to hold on to something, or I want to say no, or somebody, or I'm avoiding somebody because I just can't stand being around somebody who's always speaking the truth or always wanting to point something out. They always want to preach Jesus. They always want to talk about going to the nations. They always want to talk about laying down our lives and keep going low, aka maybe our pastors, our spiritual leaders. We want to avoid. We want to stay away. We want to just leave me alone. Like, let me stay where I want to stay. I want to keep my ducks where they belong. May I remember that man that awaits me at the end of the altar, who waits next to the Father, seated at the right hand of the Father, who intercedes for me. That's humility. He intercedes for me right now. He's interceding for you. He's praying for you. He's like, yeah, let him get it. This, Jamie, the words are like broken, but let them get it. Let them see. Let them know where I am is where I long for them to be. He's praying for you right now. He's interceding for you right now. What? This is God. This is God of the universe, the infinite, like, the one who has always been, who always will be. He intercedes for you right now. What is he praying for? What is he praying for you right now? Like, what is he actually praying to the Father? Can you imagine? Like, maybe I should ask that question. What are you praying? Like, so I can be on the same page, so I can fulfill your prayers and fulfill the cry of your heart to my Father. But this is lowliness. This is meekness. This is Jesus. The reason I can't even explain it is because I'm still like, wow, this is so amazing. And so, I love in Philippians 2. Rachel, can you actually put this one up? Philippians 3. Are you guys with me? Okay, thank you to those two people. 3. This is, I actually have it in the Amplified Edition, the classic one. No. I will have a graham cracker.
So,
well, it's okay. It's okay. I'll grab my phone. Hey, do you guys know that the Passion Translation is in the Bible app? You're welcome. Although, some things I don't like in the Passion Translation. It's like, let me go back to NASB. It's the YouVersion on, if you have that app, the Passion Translation is on there. And it's on, well, first I went to Bible Gateway. I was just curious. I'm like, oh, do they have Passion Translation? And I went there. I'm like, oh, it's in my app then. Maybe. I wasn't sure, but then I looked it up. So those of you who have all those books probably at home stacked up, now you can just access it on your phone. But it's good to have the actual thing. I think Michelle once shared with us that you retain more, you remember more when you look at it written, like, there it is, this, as opposed to this. Anyways, let's read the Bible. Okay, here we go, verse 7. Sorry. But whatever former things, there might be some differences because this is the classic edition. I don't know if that would be totally different, but whatever former things I had that might have been gains to me, I have come to consider as one combined loss for Christ's sake. Yes, furthermore, I count everything as loss compared to the possession of the priceless privilege, the overwhelming preciousness, the surpassing worth, and supreme advantage, gosh, I love this, of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, and of progressively becoming more deeply and intimately acquainted with him, of perceiving and recognizing and understanding him more fully and clearly. For his sake, I have lost everything and consider it all to be mere rubbish, refuse, dregs, in order that I may gain Christ, the anointed one, and that I may actually be found and known as in him, not having any self-achieved righteousness that can be called my own, based on my obedience to the law's demands, ritualistic uprightness, and opposed right standing with God thus acquired, aka Pharisaical spirit, but possessing that genuine righteousness which comes through faith in Christ, the anointed one, the humble one. The anointing draws humility, actually. Pride. If you want to be anointed in something, well, I'm not an expert. I'm just saying this is a revelation, not that I've just come to understand the anointing is not drawn to pride, and it's drawn to humility. Which comes through faith in Christ, the anointed one, the truly right standing with God, which comes from God by saving faith. For my determined purpose is that I may know him, that I may progressively become more deeply and intimately acquainted with him, perceiving and recognizing and understanding the wonders of his person more strongly and more clearly, and that I may in that same way come to know the power outflowing from his resurrection, which it exerts over believers, and that I may so share his sufferings as to be continually transformed in spirit into his likeness, even to his death. Oof. In the hope. Well, they had to add that part. in his death too, that if possibly I may attain to the spiritual and moral resurrection that lifts me out from among the dead, even while in the body. Not that I have now attained this ideal or have already been made perfect, but I press on to lay hold of, I grasp and make my own that for which Christ Jesus, the Messiah, has laid hold of me and made me his own. I do not consider, brethren, that I have captured and made it my own yet, but one thing I do, it is my one aspiration, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal to win the supreme and heavenly prize to which God in Christ Jesus is calling us upward. So let those of us who are spiritually mature and full grown have this mind and hold these convictions. And if any of you respect, and if in any respect you have a different attitude of mind, God will make that clear to you also. Only let us hold true to what we have already attained and walk and order our lives by that. This is cool. Brethren, together, follow my example and observe those who live after the pattern we have set for you. Do we always want to do that? Like follow the radical people wherever they go and listen to whatever they say? You know what I'm talking about. Brethren, together, follow my example. This is Paul. Like, he's like, watch me. You don't have to be light. You don't have to be a copy of me. Just follow the Spirit of God in me. Follow my example and observe those who live after the pattern we have set for you. So in case you've made an inner vow, like, I will not be like that, or I will not do that, just repent and take it before the Lord. For there are many of whom I have often told you, and now tell you even with tears, who walk, live as enemies of the cross of Christ, the Anointed One. They are doomed, and their fate is eternal misery. Their God is their stomach, their appetites, their sensuality, and they glory in their shame, siding with earthly things and being of their party. But we are citizens of the state, commonwealth, homeland, which is in heaven, and from it also we earnestly and patiently await the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, a Savior, who will transform and fashion anew the body of our humiliation to conform to and be like the body of his glory and his majesty, by exerting that power which enables him even to subject everything to himself. Romans 12, 1 through 2. Just regular NASB or New King James. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. This is so cool. You can unpack like every word it just in these first two verses, but it talks about leaving the life of conforming to this world and being transformed by repentance, basically. Renewing of your mind is repentance. So be transformed by repentance so that you can prove the good, acceptable will of the Father to be like Jesus, to be like this humble servant of all. That's the will of the Father, to be humble. The rest will take care of itself. Because humility is the answer. And I think the last verse. And the danger that can come with this, on the other side of not pursuing in humility is purity and holiness. When we run the other direction, we hide basically. When we isolate ourselves, then we're more prone to be deceived. So it's like this, it's a pattern. And like, the devil is so crafty, and it started in the garden where, you know, he deceived Eve, he deceived Adam. where he's like, hey, did he really say this? He doesn't want you to do, he doesn't want you to know. He doesn't want you to realize this. So, sweetheart, just take a bite of the apple. Like, and he just spewed poison over, like this poison of hell. The very reason he left heaven, the pride in his heart to, and he craftily was able to deceive her, because then it says in Genesis 1, or I think 2 or 3, whichever it is, probably 3, no, I think it's 2, where she then looks at the tree, and then she saw that it was good for eating. Like, where? How did that change? Before that, the Lord just said, listen, just stay away. You don't need to worry about that tree. Everything else you can eat, just enjoy yourselves where you walk in the cool of the day with me, and I am with you. And yet he comes in and he says, but wait a second. Like, let's really go over his words very carefully. Did he really say that? And he deceives us. And probably, God probably wasn't around, I'm guessing, because, when you start listening to snakes, when you start listening to the voice of the enemy, and you're forgetting that other major voice in your life, then you're going to be prone to deception. You're going to walk in that way. And so maybe even unknowingly, obviously Eve, after she ate it, then shame came, and then she knew. And then same with Adam, and he took the bite of the apple, and then that's why they hid. That's why they were nowhere to be found by the Lord. And I believe that the Lord knew, but he still asked them, because they had to recognize, what's going on here? Why am I in shame now? I'm hiding from the person that I walked with hand in hand in the garden in the cool of the day, and now you're there and I'm here, and thank goodness for Jesus, right? That's it's a very sad story if you really think about it. Like, but thank goodness for Jesus. Thank goodness for the promise that came. So I don't want any superficial humility. I want my humility to find its strength. I want it to rise where every area of pride dies, where death to sin, death to pride takes place in my heart. I think we're going to pray. I'm going to read one more scripture from Matthew 6. In Matthew 6, I just encourage you to, like, why would he keep going deeper in some of these areas of, like, repentance, and why would he keep bringing it up? Why would it still be, like, in the air and, whoa, Jesus, you're doing something amazing? There's a lot of stuff going on out there, and yet a lot of things in regular secular society and then even in the church, a lot of things that are being preached and, but I think the Lord is serious about this next wave, this next place that he's taking us to. And we hear a lot about the billion soul harvest, about the places, the territory that he desires for us to take in the spirit through intercession and fasting and through our actual being doers of the word and going and obeying him and going where he says to go. I believe there's something coming, even with the death of Billy Graham and just all the really cool prophetic words about evangelists being raised up in our nation for America. And throughout the world, there's something coming. There is something. Am I the only one? Like, do you guys feel this? Do you guys feel like something's coming? It's on the horizon. We're stepping into something. But I believe the Lord is preparing us. Like, he's getting us ready. He's like, we gotta go back to this place, and let's repent of some things. Like, let's look at your heart. Let's examine some things. Because I, just like that bride that's coming down the aisle, he's like, I'm gonna put some combat boots on you. I'm gonna dress you. You're gonna get ready with the warrior bride to go out. It's no longer time to slumber. It's time to wake up, awaken to my love, and let's go deep and let's go low, because where he can conquer us. Because that's how Jesus got it done. That's how he did the will of the Father. He went to this low and humble place in Matthew 6. Yeah, verse 30 through 33. Mm-hmm. No, I didn't want that one. Oh, shoot. I think it's Colossians, actually. 3:12. So I believe he's doing something. I believe he's speaking. I feel like what I'm sharing is just what God's already doing in our hearts to just expound and just offer one of your friends, fellow brothers and sisters, a perspective of what he's doing in my life. I don't consider myself a preacher. I'm just like, hey, what's God doing in your life? What is he speaking to you? How are you being stirred up? What is he, if you were to take a measuring stick, if the Lord, Holy Spirit were to show you something, even over the past few months, even in the last year, and you asked him, show me where I was and show me where I am now. Am I listening to you? Am I positioning myself to listen to you? Those are good questions to ask the Lord. And I'm just up here saying, hey, this is what God's showing me. And it's good, and it's like, but it's amazing. Let's keep going. Let's keep running this race. Let's keep throwing off the sin that easily entangles us. Let's keep going down that place where we're running with him together, and we're saying yes and amen to him. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So Lord, I just pray that this would continue to be the cry of our hearts, the prayer of our hearts, Lord. Oh, to go deeper into humility, to go deeper into the place where you have been overwhelmed by the Father's love. Lord, we long for the same thing, to be conquered by you, to be conquered by your love, Jesus, to be overwhelmed by your goodness, to be so undone that we can't hold on to anything of ourselves. We can't hold on to any of our own thoughts or any of our own opinions or any of the things that keep us from fully embracing the glory of Jesus, the glory of our humble Jesus. We want to embrace you in your fullness, Father. We want to embrace you, Jesus. So I thank you, Father, for the words of life that will pierce our hearts, that will go deep within us, Lord. That place where you know what we're thinking, you know what we're, on the outside it might look a certain way, but on the inside, Lord, you know and you see, you know the thoughts, you know what we try to avoid, and you know what we're really thinking, what we say behind closed doors, if we do. And you're also delighted when we step out and we repent, and you're delighted in us taking a step and saying, oh, Jesus, not my will, but let your will be done. You're looking at all of it, Lord. You're looking at the places where we step out in faith, where we make choices and we repent and return to you out of that place of faith, only that place of grace that you give to us, the gift that you give to us to enable us to do that, God. And you're also seeing the places where you're just wanting to clean out. You're wanting to clean up and saying, remember the things I've spoken to you. Remember, let's get rid of this. Let's take this out. Let's clean you off. Let's arise. Let's go deep. Let's go low so that you can arise and be exalted, so that I can use you, so that I can use you as my instrument, as my tool, as my vessel of love for the nations, for your brother. Thank you, Jesus, that you just stir up boldness on the inside of us as well. The same way that Pastor Bill had been preaching about in standing in the midst of fire and being the bold one to step up and speak truth. God, you're doing so many. That's humble. That's humility. Taking the step and not relying on your own wisdom, but relying on the wisdom of heaven, the wisdom of God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the repentance that will continue, Lord, in our hearts. Thank you, Jesus, for the work that you're doing within us, Lord. Let us encourage one another. Let us look around and say, how am I serving my brother? How am I serving? Am I serving my brother? Am I serving them? Am I being a good example of humility to someone else that looks up to me? Jesus, forgive us if we haven't, God. If there are people that watch us, that see where we go and what we do and what we say and how we do it, and if they're watching us and if they're following our example and if they follow the wrong thing, Lord, let us repent and let us set things straight, because you have given us great responsibility, Lord, over people that you've entrusted us, the ones that draw close to us, Jesus. We want them to draw close to you, Lord. So let it be in those places of our hearts as well. And if we're ones that don't want to draw close to those that are, like Pastor Bill was saying, that always speak the truth, that will point out that the hard things in our life. If you're married, well, you're stuck. There's no way out of that. But if you just avoid the ones that are gonna really speak truth, God, Lord, let us repent for that. Let us embrace the ones that are gonna speak truth and say, hey, you know, might not work, might not be the best. Lord, let us embrace that. Let us humble ourselves, God, and get rid of the stinking pride. It stinks. It's stinky. And I don't want to smell bad. I want to smell good. I want your fragrance, Lord. I want your aroma, Father, to fill me and to come out of me, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Be enthroned in our hearts, God. Be exalted. Bless each person here, Father. Thank you for the words you're even speaking to them right now, Lord. God, we're not going to dismiss this time. We're not going to just say, that's nice prayer, good job. You are speaking. You're the Holy One, and you are speaking now. We will listen. Thank you, Jesus. We will be obedient, Lord. If we have aught with our brother, if we need to go tell somebody something, then we'll do it. We submit ourselves to you, Jesus, because you love us so much. We love you so, so much, Lord. There's no other way. There is no other way to life. You are the way, the truth, and the life. Oh, you are the way, the truth, and the life. You are the humble servant of all. And we say yes and amen to you, Jesus. We love you, Lord. Amen. You could put music on if you want. Yeah, if you want to spend time, great. But if not, you're dismissed. You can get your kids. So bless you guys.
Hey guys, I just wanted to make an announcement. Oh, that's one of the announcements.
Begin to release a song from your heart. Sing in the spirit.
just in case you didn't notice, I don't want us to gloss over it. I thought she was still here, but Mary Teresa was here. Like, she was in this building. So that's an amazing testimony to me. I just am super excited. I mean, you guys have prayed for her so many times. She could not be in this building so many times. I mean, she would be in heaven, which is a great place to be. So we just want to give God praise. I think that's just such a huge testimony, and bless her life. And also, let's remember Maria Peralta. And do we have any updates, Lawrence, you want to share on her, or as we continue praying? If no, fine. But if yes, great.
I don't think everybody knows. So Thursday, she was released from the Cleveland Clinic and sent to a rehab facility. She's, which is right down the street from us, which has been a huge blessing. But it's been a transition. So continued prayer for that process for her. She is eating. So, you know, that's a huge breakthrough. It's been about 2.5 months since she had any solid food. And she's eating about half a meal two times a day. So that's a whole meal. So we're pretty excited about all that. Just continued prayer for her health and healing and the transition from a very capable staff at the Cleveland Clinic to a different staff at the rehab facility. So just continued prayer as we continue to see progress is greatly appreciated.
All right, that's it.